Good evening, everyone. This evening, I'm going to offer a talk on guidance in Shikantaza. This reading that we've just done, an excerpt of a text by Reb Anderson. And I think this is a beautiful description of our practice of meditation. And it is quite profound in the sense that it offers us nothing that we can hold on to. And in a way, that is the best instruction for how to sit zazen. It opens by sharing just how limitless the practice of Shikantaza is. So Shikantaza is a word that we use to describe meditation practice. It's a way of describing a meditation practice that has no goal. So often in life, we are functioning according to our goals. We do things because we want to get something out of our activity. Sometimes it is that we want to simply get out of the activity itself. I am doing this work so that I can be done working. And sometimes it is for a noble goal. Perhaps a goal of changing the world in some positive way. So often we live according to our goals. And interestingly, this piece offers a few contrasts. One might joyfully practice focusing on the posture and the breath with no gaining idea. Shunryu Suzuki describes the practice of Zazen as the practice of having no goal, simply being present with things as they are. Complete presence in stillness, not the slightest meddling. Physical and mental non-interfering, thorough intimacy with whatever is happening. We describe this as an infinitely flexible stillness. And so we sit on the cushion and simply notice the way that things are, without any need or desire to change them. Or if we notice that there is a need or a desire to change the way things are, we just notice that and don't need to change that. And thus the infinite flexibility of Shikantaza, simply awake to things as they are in this given moment. Noticing perhaps the sensations of our bodies, sitting on the cushion, some of us with our knees touching our zabutons, some of us with our feet on the floor, backs upright, noticing the breath. The breath floating in the midst of this infinite space of awareness. Like a goose's honk in the middle of the sky. It fills the whole sky. No gap. So it is with our breath. Filling the whole universe. The whole universe filling our breath. the whole sky in the honk of a goose. And in classic Zen style, there also is a goal in our Zazen. The goal of Zazen is the liberation of all living beings from suffering. Our great Bodhisattva vow that we do not sit only for ourselves, but we practice for all beings. We might say that all beings reside in our hearts. In the same way that the sky resides in the honk of a goose. We are one being, and yet we are dependent arisings born out of the whole universe. The air we breathe is the air of the sky. And so when we sit with all beings in our hearts. And we sit for the liberation of all beings. We know what it is like to suffer. Each one of us has suffered. And so we long for all beings to be liberated from suffering. And again, an inversion in classic Zen style. But the goal is exactly the same as the practice. The liberation of all beings does not happen later. It's not something we achieve. It is already true. Our sitting is not a means to an end. It is the realization of the liberation of all beings. Notice what arises for you as I say that. Do you find that there are objections? This is just the functioning of your mind, telling stories. What is present here, now? In realizing the liberation of all beings, one becomes free of self-concern and personal gain. And becoming free of self-concern and personal gain actualizes the goal. Opening a door to full understanding of how self and other independently co-produce one another. This is the samadhi of all Buddhas, this realization of our profound interwovenness. And how is this possible? How is it possible that we are so deeply interwoven? We can tell stories of cause and effect. The rain falls, I drink the water that is the rain. I breathe the air that is the sky. I eat the food that grows from the earth. I hear the words from your mouth. All of it shapes me, becomes my mind, becomes my awareness, becomes myself. I am no separate being. We are woven of one another in a way that is so intimate. But this story, this philosophy, is not realization itself. Realization is the sitting itself, where the boundaries of self and other fall away completely. And as those boundaries of self and other truly fall away, simply through our realization, our presence, of just what is intimacy with this very moment, this moment is the koan. And simply being present with things just as they are, we notice that there is no separate mind. Just everything. There are no separate beings to save. We might describe this as the emptiness view. Utter liberation. This is the samadhi of all Buddhas. The enlightenment and liberation of all living beings. It is not brought forth by the power of my personal effort. In fact, it has nothing to do with me. And it has nothing to do with you. It is brought forth by the universe itself, manifesting as me, manifesting as you. It has everything to do with me and everything to do with you. But not the little egoistic ideas of ourselves that we have, not the separate senses of selves that we have, but this interwoven presence. It is quite beyond categories. Here there are no separate beings to save, no past, present, or future, just liberation. And as the Dalai Lama says, the more we taste this profound liberation ourselves, the more we want it for all beings. Our compassion grows through our own taste of liberation. This is not an arrogant view. For being interwoven, we know what it is like to descend into the pits of despair and suffering. Each of us, seeing the mental formations arise, experience this. But as we practice, we come to see that even these descents into hell are empty of any fixed essence. They too, dependently arisen, born out of causes and conditions and circumstances, impermanent, shape-shifting clouds in the sky. So even as the clouds are present, we can maintain some amount of equanimity. And of course, sometimes we can't. Sometimes all we see is the tumultuous waves. But our faith grows through our sitting practice, that the tumultuous waves too are impermanent and are held up by a boundless sea. We return to the cushion again and again, and this equanimity grows and deepens. There truly is evolution through our practice. But we cannot sit with that goal. Rather, we sit simply to be intimate with whatever is here, to look into it curiously, seek its essence, and you shall not find. And this precisely is what is liberative. We can't do it by ourselves. We need each other. We need the support of Sangha, of others who sit with us and maintain stillness with us, who are willing to look into the matter, look into the great matter. With steadiness and discipline. We cannot do it by ourselves because there is no such thing as by ourselves. That does not actually exist. And still, nobody else can do it for us. We must continue to sit and attend and become intimate with our lives, to awaken again and again, to realize the liberated nature of all beings, and to bring this forth into the world. Thank you, everyone.